This is Pants in the Boot. I'm Glenn Fleischman, and in this podcast in which we talk about the different names we have for the same things, or the same names we have for different things, as we'll discover, we're going to talk about some drinks, some things we drink in the house since we're in the house. Sometimes we used to drink these things outside of the house, but, you know, those days will come again for some of us. Others are already experiencing it, as I will tell you as I introduce this episode's guests. Gene in Portland, Oregon. Chris in Bratty Ferry, Scotland. James Thompson in Glasgow, Scotland. Erica Ensign in Edmonton, Alberta. And Sarah Hendrika Bickerton in Auckland, New Zealand. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Some of us can actually go out of the house for drinks, as I understand it, Sarah, but this is a dream.
I can go out on my balcony.
What's it like? Right now for what's the outside like, Sarah? Of the sunlit lands.
I feel this is terrible because we're like, not only am I living in the future because I'm ahead of everybody here, but we also like can go outside, and I literally went up and bought a coffee like yesterday morning when my girlfriend and I went out for a walk and then we went out for brunch and these kind of things.
In other words, normal life is happening.
It's healing.
Like you're preserving the culture and the notion of there is thing that we can get back to.
Oh my
someday.
Gosh! Well, so what's your drink, Sarah? What's your coffee drink, or do you have a coffee drink?
Okay, so mine is my go-to is what we term in New Zealand a short black, which is so we have a bunch of different types of black coffee, which is short black, which is straight espresso. So comes in a little tiny cup, and that's what I generally drink. Then we have a tall black, which is an espresso with hot water added. A little bit of hot water added. Then on you have, which we've imported from America, the Americano, which is the same thing as a tall black, but with a lot more water added. The American black coffee is weak and not very strong.
So, I think you say it was with polluted water is added. That gets you an Americano.
Whereas here, we wouldn't actually refer to an Americano as coffee. I mean, it's a coffee beverage for sure. But if you go into a coffee shop and you ask for a coffee, generally you're going to get brewed coffee or a pour over. Whereas the Americano always falls under espresso beverages on the menu because you actually make it as espresso and then you add hot water to it. I would love to have the difference to be able to say, you know, I would like a tall black instead of an Americano, because instead you just, if you want that, you have to order an Americano with like two extra shots, and then it cuts down the amount of hot water that goes into it. But then it's also more expensive.
I think when I grew up, certainly in the UK, you could have a coffee or you could have tea. And that was really the only distinction between these beverages at all. And then I think Starbucks opened, and then there was a whole world of other strange drinks that appeared. I would say my go-to is a mocha, which started in a strange place in that my first job, I was a sysadmin at a university. And the main point of that job was a lot of coffee breaks. And so there was one in the morning, then there was lunch, and then there was one in the afternoon. And what I would do was I would go pass by my boss's office, and he would hand me a mug. And in that mug was one scoop of instant coffee, one scoop of instant hot chocolate.
Wow.
And
mocha. I didn't know what you meant.
And
I was thinking like M-O-K-K-A, like some sort of coffee drink.
No, not that fancy. Just I like sugar, and this was a nice way to get it. And so that and hot water would be added to that. And nowadays, you know, even while I'm out in a fancy place, I will get a mocha. And sometimes you get, you know, here you can have a raspberry mocha if you're feeling particularly indulgent.
Yeah, we have peppermint over here as a thing that people do a lot.
When I grew up in the 80s, there was a lot less choice in things. Now there's a place opposite which, when it's open, serves 100 different kinds of milkshake. And it's like, I don't need 100 different kinds of milkshake. I need more than six.
Do you need them right now? Is everyone or anyone, will you make coffee for yourself in your home?
I have Wi-Fi coffee making machine, which will come as no surprise to anyone.
Whoa!
So I have.
Does it deliver it to you over Wi-Fi too? That's what I want.
BOIP. No, I have bean to cup thing, so a grinder that goes into a drip system into a jug, but it can be controlled from my phone. And I have to say there is a few pleasures afforded to me in this life greater than lying in bed, pressing a button on my phone and hearing in the distance the whir of a burr grinder springing to life. And then when I walk through to the kitchen, the smell of freshly ground and brewed coffee assaults me, assails me as I go into the kitchen. It is joyous. Big fan.
I have nothing that fancy. I do, most mornings I will grind my coffee by hand in like an old-fashioned burr grinder, which, you know, you just turn a crank. And then we'll French press it. My husband usually uses the drip machine. I also have the Moka, M-O-K-A, style stovetop coffee / espresso makers. So I have lots of different, and I have like four different sizes of that, depending on how much coffee I want. So I have many, many choices.
I'm in the same boat. I've got the Italian little stovetop. And then I've got a nice big DeLonghi espresso machine with the little handle device. Mm. Yeah, and then I just recently, even though I shouldn't be admitting this on international podcasts, I just bought myself an espresso machine.
Oh.
And
raise his hand.
And I feel like dirty for admitting this, but it's like, it's great. I can get up and just press one button and it goes, it makes this delicious little pop noise, and then the coffee comes out and I'm like out of the apartment in like 15 seconds, not having to go through this entire ritual of creating my espresso in the morning.
I'm really glad, Sarah, you went first on that, because I was sitting here thinking, like, am I going to admit that I've had an espresso machine for like over a decade? Yeah, there's all sorts of reasons why one should feel a little sheepish about it, but I realize, like, everybody has their price, which they're willing to overlook something that's possibly problematic. My price is a super easy, quick shot of espresso with nothing to clean up. Yeah. Because otherwise, you know, I used to have the stovetop Moka, oh, yeah. I mean, and also a French press, which in theory I like, but I think the cleanup is so...
Oh, God,
you know, it's complicated.
Can I interest you in like a cup of tea? It's like a bag and a cup.
Lord and Savior,
no
tea.
Before we get into tea, I want to ask a question though, which is Gene or anyone, is I can't remember how long ago I grew up in Eugene. Well, I'll just tell you very briefly. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, which is a hippie town when I was growing up in it. It's like the home of the hippies, one of America's leading hippie cities. And my first espresso came after going to see a movie with a friend. We went to see My Dinner with Andre at a converted funeral home, Bijou Theater, and then went out to discuss it while drinking espresso. And I was up till, you know, 4 a.m., couldn't sleep, right? So that's perfect, perfect teenage experience with espresso. Mm-hmm. But I think Eugene, I remember growing up, I'm pretty sure there are French presses, people used them there. But I have encountered people who are like, what's that? You know, it's like they see a French, someone, it's brought to a table at some restaurant or coffee shop, and they have no idea, they've never seen it before. They're astounded and often incredibly pleased by it. And they don't know that you can just get them readily for the home. Has anyone encountered that phenomenon where someone who's like, this is something from the future, it's an iPad for
coffee? That was me most of the time growing up. I had never heard of a French press. I think I had seen them on British television, but I didn't know what they were.
I would never have heard of a French press either growing up, but that's because we would call them a cafetiere.
Oh. Now I know what you're talking about.
No bloody French press for you.
I will never forget, there was an episode of Midsummer Murders where Joyce, who is the wife of the main character, she like brings the French press over to the table. She sets it down and she presses the top down like so fast. It's like there's nothing in it. And it was like, it was my biggest annoyance on television and movies is empty coffee cups where it's very clear there's nothing in that cup you're carrying. And this was like the brewing coffee equivalent of that. And I'm still mad.
That's funny.
In New Zealand, we tend to, we can use the phrase French press, but we also refer to it as plunger coffee.
That
doesn't sound good.
I know. This is like, because a plunger in America is something entirely different. But yes, it's referred to as plunger coffee because, it's a plunger that you put down.
Oh.
But in the States, of course, not happy.
We haven't mentioned my favorite takeaway coffee, which is an Antipodean thing, I think, which is the flat white. Or a cortado, which is different, slightly different, but you know, tiny little shot of espresso with very velvety milk, but quite strong.
It's a very popular drink in Seattle.
I remember when the flat white made its way to Canada, it was only a few years back, and it was a big deal. Like, the local coffee shops were, like, you know, big signs saying, flat white, now available. I already knew what it was because I had friends from the UK.
Yeah, that's a New Zealand creation, is the flat white.
It is, indeed.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, we created it in New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah,
I did give you props, Sarah. Into this podcast back, you
I heard
hear
it.
Me
thing.
Can confirm.
But, like, I had a lot of skeptical colleagues who would sort of go, flat white, you mean just like a white coffee? No. No. Because, of course, in the UK, a white coffee would readily be, as James says, like a couple of scoops of instant at most and some whole milk. That's a white coffee.
A friend here from Minnesota originally, he went home, you know, so Seattle is allegedly the home of coffee. I love when Starbucks a few years ago was like, we're going to make a new thing called blonde coffee. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to burn the beans. Mm. How exciting. What a great discovery for you. But, you know, we do have a rich coffee culture because people react to Starbucks. So there's a million places. And we were, you know, I went to my first, was a cupping back. Oh, I don't know. It was 2000, early 2000. Yeah, not
that. You're going to need to explain that phrase.
Yeah.
Not that kind.
Not that kind.
You know, where you, it's a brewer, like a roaster's thing where you put coffee in to, boiling water. Anyway, it's a whole, you know, elaborate thing where you're sort of testing certain notes of it, whatever.
I mean, that sounds like coffee.
A coffee tasting?
No, not kidding. A tasting. It's giving me a hard time. So in any case, so we do have a coffee culture around here like that. But so my friend had been out here in Seattle for many years. He goes back to Minnesota and he orders, I forget, like a latte, and it's basically milk. And he says, what is this? He's like, oh, this is a latte. And he said, this doesn't seem like you. So he's like, oh, are you not from around here? He's like, no, I'm from Seattle. He's like, oh, people here don't like coffee very much. So basically give him a big cup of steamed milk with like a tiny bit of coffee. I mean, it's changed since then, I'm sure, but that was 20 years ago. It's pretty funny.
Actually, yeah, when I was growing up, my parents would sometimes give us coffee milk, you know, which was like sugar and a lot of milk and a little coffee for a thing. But not that long ago, I discovered, well, I went to Rhode Island, where they have a thing, it's the state beverage of Rhode Island, coffee milk, and it's made with two different specific syrups, and it's sort of like which is the local beer, you know, you identify with your syrup. Rich Siegel, for example, a programmer, lives there in Rhode Island. I actually had coffee with him. He says, like, you have to try the coffee milk, but you have to have this kind of syrup. Greg Scown, my former colleague, also from Rhode Island, was, I think they were on different sides of the equation.
No.
But considering how tiny Rhode Island is, like, it's kind of like, you know, a city having like this, like, you know, a small city having a big controversy over which kind of syrup you use. Oh, yeah, one's called Autocrat. Which is just a weird
interesting.
Brand.
You remind me, Gene, mentioning that of, there's a thing in the UK called camp coffee, which is not, as it might suggest, flamboyant coffee. But it is, it's not coffee at all. It's made from chicory. But it was something that was served during World War II to feed the troops. Mm-hmm. But it's still sold in part for people who, you know, had a terrible thing happen to them and still live in that era. But also it's really good for baking with, really good for cooking with camp coffee.
Camp coffee. I've had cowboy coffee, where you just basically throw the grounds into
a pot over the
fire, right? And you just pour it out. It's actually could
and
be
throw I was in some a, eggshells.
Oh, yeah, right. Because it gathers the albumin, gathers the...
Yeah, it helps it strain out better.
Strain out,
the grinds.
Grinds, yeah. Yep. It's but it's that's kind of a fun thing. I was in a cabin in Montana, lit cabin, listening to cowboy sing and make cowboy coffee. It was wonderful. And before I burn any bridges with this coffee episode, let me just say thanks to Chris, Gene, Erica, James, and Sarah. This has been Pants in the Boot. We're part of the Incomparable Network, where you can find more information at theincomparable.com. That's also where you can find out how to become a member and support nonsense like this and many of our other programs. You can listen to hours and hours, well, really at this point, months and months of podcasts at theincomparable.com and /members to find out more about joining. You get access to a member Slack in which you can suggest words for this program and inconceivable rounds and all kinds of game show episodes. And, well, you might just like it a lot. Thanks to Chris Breen for our theme music.